Seaplane Base is the theme for today. On the fly, JMG, and we're just hanging out here on the waterfront. And Mark Rassi is the chairman of the Seaplane Base, and we're talking to him. We're talking to John Knapp, otherwise known as Snaps, who's in charge of judging out here. And gentlemen, I see here that this year you had a very odd airplane arrive, a Piper PA-12 with a radial engine on it from Montana. That, of course, is very unique. How would you judge an airplane like that?
It's very difficult.
I expected that answer.
For lack of a better word.
So that's unusual, right? That's an unusual. What category would that go in?
Tell you the truth, I was talking to a photographer to get a picture of this young kid here taking a picture, and your question blew over my head.
The PA-12 that had a radial engine question. So
yes,
how would you judge that? Meaning, what category would that fit in? Because it's obviously not a normal combo.
That's an easy one. Thank you. That's judge's choice.
Oh, okay.
Yep, it's a judge's choice plane. But back to what you're saying, the difficulty. We have three albatrosses out of the same manufacturing shop, rehab shop. We have to judge those. And it came out, all three planes came out of the same shop. We had that years ago. We had five Piper Cubs out of the same shop. The phone rings off the hook after the convention. Somebody's going to be upset.
Right.
And, yep. And it's going to be that way this year because they were beautiful.
Well, I'm glad to hear that we're getting beautiful restorations revived to life. Because
first class.
Otherwise, if we didn't have that, it would be just a beautiful airplanes dying, in a junkyard somewhere. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have.
Every year they see these planes get better and better and better. The quality of the repair and the restoration is just unbelievable.
Wow, that's just great. Yeah, I often wondered, how when you have airplanes that essentially are 50, 60 years old and they look brand new, like they just came out of the factory. I mean, it's got to be tough to judge.
The one Beaver was a non-plane. It actually still had the switches above for dropping bombs.
Wow, that's just great.
Wow. Yep.
I assume it still doesn't drop bombs, though.
It's not
that authentic.
It's funny. Kenmore didn't put the bomb racks on the wings. Everything inside the cockpit looked aesthetic, but no, they didn't put the bomb racks on.
Well, hey, thank you, Snaps. We appreciate
it's always fun.
Your vision on that.
Come see us next year.
Well, of course, every Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. Yes,
Mark, you have someone special here for us to talk to.
I do, and
I love it when this happens. I love it when an area venue picks out one of their special people to feature on my show.
And if you don't know this, Kyle, you're that special person, mm-hmm. Because Kyle, this is Kyle Brien, and now Kyle, I like your answer to this question, so I'm going to ask. How long have you been coming here?
Well, I've been coming here before I was one.
Wow, that's just awesome. That's great. Good answer. And so how old are you now?
11.
Wow. So what would you describe as, like, what makes this place so special that you want to come back year after year?
The friends.
Friends. Okay, so it's the people. Is there something else? Like, if we talk about the place, what is it that's so special about the place?
It's fun just seeing all of this and volunteering for it. And
that's just great. So, and you are one of our good volunteers. And so let's just say that this was a campground somewhere else and the same people were there. Obviously, we would still have fun because we tend to do that around here. But do you think that it makes this place special because of the water and the planes and the boats? I mean, what area do you think is the most special?
The water.
The water. And so with that, you want to be involved with the boats. Is that right?
Yeah.
So now I know your dad is quite involved. And how would you describe what he does around here?
Well, he's a towboat driver.
Well, that's... Yep, go ahead.
He also does a lot of other stuff, like setting up and setting down and all that other stuff, what happens behind the scenes, what a lot of people don't notice.
Yeah, exactly. So some of those things behind the scenes, now you're involved with because you tag along. Do you like that stuff too? Because some people don't like getting into the behind-the-scenes
stuff. I like doing that stuff too.
Yeah. So here's an example of what your dad did. You know, he was on a special crew. I mentioned earlier in a previous segment that we had rough water.
Right.
And so
yep.
when those airplanes come in, they can't land because it's just simply too rough. As a result, we have set up an alternate landing site. And this alternate landing site, not that I have it memorized, but you take a 150-degree heading from here and go 2.88 miles, and there's a big island there. Now, during this 1 week of the year, we call that island Warbird Island. However, it's not really named that. It's Long Point Island.
It's popular on the arrivals, though, for the Warbirds.
Exactly, right. So that's why we refer to it as Warbird Island. And in Warbird Island, it has a very protected lagoon. So at any island on any lake, there's going to be calm water on one side of it. And when the winds are out of the north-northeast out of Lake Winnebago, those rollers have at least 20 miles of wind to create energy and make big waves. However, when they hit the island, then those waves dissipate and it's smooth on the other side. So we send the airplanes down. They can land into the wind in calm water and taxi up. And we have a crew that goes out there and makes sure that we have anchors and cables and buoys and bridles waiting for the pilots.
So you actually secure them out there. They don't try and water taxi back in rough water.
Oh, my gosh, no. They wouldn't be able to do that. It truly is a treacherous lake. I mean, it's like hurricane-type waves out there on such a day. And so as a result, the airplanes go in this protected lagoon. We have all of that set up for them. And this year, we had a lot of people because they know that the lake can get rough. So they called ahead of time. So I had arrival times of when I suspected airplanes were going to come. Because that's the thing, is they fly over and they think they can try first. And they try to land here and they maybe go around because it's rough. And then they head down there. Well, now they say, well, we're going to go to the alternate landing site. Well, they're going to be down there in about 3 minutes. However, it's going to take us 3 minutes just to get in a vehicle. And then we have to drive, you know, 5 miles down the road, and then we have to get into a boat. And then we have to get to the boat and go out to the island. And then we have to make sure the airplane is secure, put the people in the boat, bring them back to the mainland, and then we have to have a car transport take them back to the seaplane base. And so because I knew the arrival times of these airplanes, I could get this all in motion ahead of time. So these airplanes, our crew was positioned ready for these airplanes to arrive. And the longest wait that anyone had, and I think this is a high estimate, was 5 minutes.
Wow. I guess Kyle might have been part of this.
Well,
operation.
Certainly his father was. And so, you know, that's a behind-the-scenes action that people don't even know that it's going on. But, of course, we have coordination with our point managers and our dock workers and coordinators. And then, of course, we try to get a team in place because even just traveling from the mainland to the island across that rough water is quite a jaunt. And so over the time, and this was all day long because we had a record number of airplanes that arrived on that rough water day. And the number was 11. We had 11 at our alternate landing site. However,
is that a record?
It is. I think prior to that was 5 or 6, somewhere in that area. And so almost double the number that were down there. But they were able to land safely, and it didn't take them very much time to wait. They got to be able to get their luggage loaded in a boat, taken to shore, and then we have another crew, because we have the boat crew, and then we have a transport crew to bring them to the seaplane base. And that went
and
on.
And all their luggage and camping all, yeah,
absolutely.
Gear.
So then they come to the seaplane base, and they register. And all of that took, like, 10 hours of the day. So we had two crews, tag team, and your dad was, you know, the A team on that. Go ahead and tell us what you
Well, we actually had a turn back on our first time going out there.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So when we first went out there on the Mexican, it wasn't to get people off the planes. It was to put down some more buoys. So we were to put down 3 more buoys. But we had to turn back because of all the waves. Because when we went out there, the average wave was about 4 through 5 foot waves.
Yeah, that is really rough. And
we're talking about a little motorboat, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
correct. It's a bigger boat that's made for fishing, and it's our work boat. And yep. It does take bigger waves, but I bet you were just taking on water. I bet it was splashing over the bow. You didn't get wet, did you?
Oh, yeah.
His eyes just got big. All right. So you turned back, you say. So how did you get those anchors? I mean, they're heavy anchors. They're big concrete blocks. How did you get them back out to the island? Because you did put more out throughout the day.
Well, we put these big Brit. There's a little hook on the ends of this.
Yeah.
On the end of these anchors. And we use a homemade tool with a hook and then a metal connected to a metal bar.
Right.
And it takes two per people to move it.
Were you one of those? Because they are really heavy. I know that you were probably coaching them how to do
it. You were telling them how to do it.
No, I was still help with something else other than putting in the anchors, because we also have to connect with the wire, a metal wire to a buoy.
And then the bridle, right? And that,
yes.
The bridle attaches to the propeller of the airplane so that they can weather vane.
Yep.
And so you're a part of that behind-the-scenes crew, and somewhat of a thankless job, you know, if you think about it, because here's the best place on the planet,
right.
And here these guys are down there. But I bet you, did you correspond with any of those pilots? Did you talk to any of them? I mean, were they very appreciative?
Well, when we turned back, they wanted a smaller crew, so that then they only brought two people down there instead of three.
Okay.
So they kicked me off.
Well, we needed you back here because that was our setup weekend. Hey, you're a valuable volunteer down here, and we're just so glad that you're part of our family. So, Kyle, thanks for joining us today. It's just awesome.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the radio. And see, it wasn't nearly as bad as you thought it would be, right? Jay Munchie, we're on the fly at the seaplane base, and we're going to talk some more seaplane stuff when we come back in just a moment. You're listening to EAA Radio.